Last Wednesday night, we began to speak about this theme of be not deceived. Be not deceived. And we looked at one instance of it, and it was about being deceived in our heart. Don't be deceived in your heart. That's what we talked about last Wednesday night in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17, verse number 9. We'll be launching here and going elsewhere because it's more of a theme-related message. The heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Be not deceived. We looked at that last week from Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse 16, which says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. Be not deceived. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight as we continue along this theme, that you will be the preacher, that you will hide me behind the cross, help me not to say anything you wouldn't want said, but to give everything that we need to hear. And Lord, may we meditate on it, consider it, and practice it. In Jesus' name, amen. Be not deceived. Okay, let's go to our Bibles now, and we're going to look at number 2. We mentioned last week that in the Bible, there are only 5 places in our Bible where it says these words, be not deceived. Be not deceived. That was the first one we looked at last week, was in Deuteronomy. Let's go now into Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 21. Luke 21. Be not deceived. Last week was be not deceived in your heart, number 1. And tonight, number 2. Be not deceived, or don't be deceived, however you want to word it. Don't be deceived in your doctrine. In your doctrine. Luke 21:8. And he said, take heed. Let's stop right there. Take heed. That means take heed there means to be discerning. Or let's say it in a little different way. Open your eyes. A lot of times we're going through life with our eyes closed. I'm not talking about literally. I'm talking about spiritually. And it's no wonder we many times, if we're not careful, we're led astray because our eyes are closed spiritually. The Bible here says, open your eyes. Take heed. Ask God for some spiritual discernment. Take heed that ye be not deceived. There it is. That ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Follow me. That's not there, but you know, listen to my teaching. You know, in 2019, they're all over the place. They're all over the internet. Their books are in the Christian bookstores. Be very careful. Be not deceived about your doctrine. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. I love this phrase. See it? Go ye not therefore after them. This is Jesus speaking here in Luke chapter 21. All scripture is given by inspiration of who? God. And it is what? Profitable. Boy, here's a warning to us, 2019. Don't follow them. Don't go after them. Do not be deceived. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Now there's some obvious ones that we know of in our day that we would look at and we would say, definitely there's some major doctrinal errors in certain cults, maybe the Mormons or maybe the Jehovah Witnesses. Quickly go with me to Galatians chapter number 1. Now, we looked at this in recent days when we were looking at the book of Galatians. I'm not going to have us go into these necessarily, these cults, if you will, but we want to stay away from them because they are going against the Word of God. One in particular has basically written their own Bible. That would be the Jehovah Witnesses. You know, when they say we have a Bible, you have to understand that that Bible that I can't remember the name of it right now off the top of my head. New World Translation, thank you, was basically written to match what they believe. That's not how it works, is it? God already gave us a Bible, so we should match the way we live with how this book already reads for us. And so, but notice what he said, Paul said here in Galatians 1:6, pardon me. And Paul is shocked. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a what? Another gospel. I marvel at it. It's shocking. And again, we spent much time on the book of Galatians. And what's happening here, it, just like we're looking even in Philippi a little bit lately, is that these dear believers are being pulled back into the old way of living under the law. And he's saying, you know, you got out of that mess, you got out of that teaching, but all of a sudden you've moved back to it so quickly. And he says, it's amazing to me that you would go away from what you have been called. Notice it says that you are so soon removed from him that called you. Boy, I tell you what, let's not allow the teaching, false teaching of even taking things out of context in our Bible. Let's be in our Bible. Let's be praying and asking God's Spirit to teach us, because even people will, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on, so I don't want to go ahead and preach that point yet, but be careful, little ears, what you hear. I remember that song when I was in Sunday school. You know, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. You know, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful what we're listening to. Be careful what we're reading. Chapter 5 in Galatians, if you have it open there. Here's a very powerful verse. Be not deceived in your doctrine. Christ, Galatians 5:4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. How are we justified? How are we justified, church? You can speak out. Justified by faith. The law has nothing to do with justification. Absolutely nothing, except for showing us that we need to be justified. It shows us that we're a sinner. And Paul is saying here, what basically he's saying, the way that you're living, what good is Christ? You're trusting in the old law, you're trusting in the thing. And you know what? We as believers, if we're not careful, we can kind of be in that same, we can get into that same way of thinking that we have to live our life to please, to perform for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, I want to live my life pleasing to the Lord because I love Him. Not because I have to perform. Look, nothing I can do is going to change God's love for me. Think about that. Nothing you do changes God's love for you. God loves us tonight. God loves us with an unbelievable amount of love that we can't even really wrap our head around. And so I'm not living my life so that, you know, I got to live this way so God will love me, or else God won't love me anymore. That's not the Christian life. No, I want to live for Christ. I want to follow His word because I love Him. We love Him because He first loved us, the Bible tells us. They had left the teaching of grace and had gone back to the teaching of works. They were deceived. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. That's it. That's exactly where they needed to be going. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I found this little thing and wrote it down after I had done this, and I just wrote it here. We don't need to gain a hidden knowledge to be accepted by God. There's nothing new, is there? Just this book. We don't have to gain a hidden knowledge to be accepted by God. The false teachers kept the church tied up with endless and irrelevant questions. This kept them from the truth. Here's something I read. Religious speculation hasn't changed anyone. There's a lot of things we can speculate about, right? Meaning we don't really know the answer to speculation. We're just going to have to trust God. And it's going to happen because God is true. But what we need to do is we need to get in this book right here and not get caught up in all of this thing. I heard some preaching the other day, and the preacher said, hey, let's, and again, we need to understand the whole counsel of God. I'm going to get into that in just a few moments. But let's not allow it to take us away from the things of the true of the Word of God. Another verse, 1 Timothy 1:4. 1 Timothy 1:4. Be not deceived in your doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do ye. The church at Ephesus, the false teachers, were motivated by their own interests rather than Christ. Now here's where we really need to be students, though. If somebody were to come up to you this week, they were to ask you, what do you believe about eternal security? Maybe they wouldn't say it like that because maybe they wouldn't know that term. Maybe they would come up to you and they would say, maybe you would get into a discussion with somebody. And by the way, it is a blessing that there are still people in Vancouver, out and about, who a conversation can be struck up and we can talk about the things of the Lord. Or we can talk about religious things. And you know what I mean by that. I'm not talking about religion, but I'm talking about the things of God, the Bible, church, Jesus Christ, so forth and so on. And you know, it could be, I can almost imagine a conversation leading to something about, well, you know, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, how do you know that you're once you get saved, that you don't lose it? Well, you know, Pastor last week, he was talking about, you know, that's a great start, but that's really not what you need to say. We need to be able to take this book right here. And we need to be able to say, you know, the reason why that I know I'm going to heaven is because it says in the Bible, thus and so. And there's numerous verses, right? You could start with the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. Okay? The reason why I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven, and because I've been saved, even though I'm not perfect and even though I'm not sinless, I know I'm going to heaven is because in John chapter 10, have you ever read John chapter 10? John chapter 10, it talks about there Jesus Christ says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me and I give unto them, it says in the Bible, it says eternal life. You may not have your Bible with you at the time. Hopefully we want to try to memorize some of these. And if you mess it up a little bit, don't worry about it. God will use that too. But it says there that I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. So you see, I'm trusting in the Word of God that once I get saved, I'm gonna go to heaven when I die. What if somebody wanted to know, and maybe it's not in a setting like the bus or the SkyTrain or something like that, but what if somebody wanted to know and they asked you, what do you believe about speaking in tongues? Well, I don't believe in it. Well, why? I don't believe in it isn't necessarily the best answer, okay? We need to be able to take this book and to say, oh, well, you know, let's see what the Bible says. All I'm saying is we have certain things that we say we believe in, but if we don't know where it's even at in the Bible, how good is that when it comes to trying to help people? It's not very good, right? And we don't want to be deceived in our doctrine. And the best way to not be deceived in our doctrine is to know the truth. Right? And if we know the truth, then when we hear deception, we're going to know it. When we smell deception, we're going to know it. That doesn't smell right. That doesn't sound right at all. You know? Don't be deceived in our doctrine. I wrote this down. What do we believe about, fill in the blank, we should know biblically what we believe about it? Why do we get baptized under the water? Why? What is that? And you know, that's a big one. That's a big one. We need to be able to show somebody from the Bible why we get baptized under the water. Because there's a lot of other people that will have been, they believe they've been baptized. Because when they were a baby, somebody dripped some water on their head. Okay? Or maybe even when they were adult, somebody dripped some water on their head. And they'll say, yeah, but you know, I got baptized when I was a baby. Well, you know what? Let me show you something quickly. Let's go to the book of Acts. And I want you to maybe jot this down. Maybe you already have. Now, again, there's more passages than this, and I gotta look it up here. Acts, okay. Yeah, this new Bible, you know. Acts and the Ethiopian eunuch. What is that? 6. I don't think it's 6. 8, okay. Yeah, there it is. 8:26. Thank you. I gotta have to start marking in this Bible. 8:26. Now, here's a great passage of scripture to take somebody to, and you can teach them about baptism. Okay? You can teach them a lot about baptism right here. Number one, we can teach somebody that to be baptized, you have to be saved. It's proven right here. You know, he asked the question, what doth hinder me to be baptized? You see it down there? I'm not going to read the whole text because we've looked at it. But he says, verse 36, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. And you know what? Can a baby believe with all their heart? No, it's impossible. So there you go, boom, babies can't be baptized. And then you could also say that there's a clear distinction here on how much water there is at a baptism. Because it says in verse 38 that they went down into the water. Now, I don't think any two men are going to fit inside of a cup. And I don't think any two men are going to fit inside of a basin. I don't know. I've never seen a Catholic baptism. But to go down into something, it's going to have to be a lot of water. I'm just giving you an example of one place in the Bible you can help someone to see. Here's what the Bible says. This is a live story of a religious man, by the way, who had just left worship. He didn't know anything yet about the Lord. He was learning. He needed somebody to guide him. You understand what you're reading? Philip says, how can I except some man should guide me? And so I'm just saying that's a great text for us to be able to go to and say, this is why I believe baptism by immersion. This is why I believe baptism for believers. And so forth. So there's an example. So number one, we said last week, be not deceived in our heart. Be not deceived in our doctrine. Let's look at one more tonight. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, let's go back at this. Know ye not that the unrighteous, what do you think? Who are the unrighteous? The unsaved, right? Correct. The lost. We know tonight that a lost person, an unsaved person, man or woman, at the age by reaching the age of accountability, when they understand the difference between right and wrong, they are going to be responsible before a holy God for their sin. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous, that's who the unrighteous are. Now, when we got saved, the Bible tells us that we received someone's righteousness. We received the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I got saved, April 1983, I left the unrighteous crowd and became a member of the righteous crowd. Not because of my righteousness, but because of His righteousness. And so I have this imaginary robe on tonight. You have, if you're saved, you have an imaginary robe on tonight. No one can see it, but in a sense, we can see it because our actions will show that we're a believer. So we have this robe on tonight, and so we've left the unrighteous and we've become righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So number three, don't be deceived concerning who is going to heaven and who is not. Don't be deceived. What do these verses not teach us? They do not teach us that people who have been involved in fornication will not go to heaven. That's not what it teaches us. Because it says right away, and I think that's the key, is that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because in verse 11, it gives us a little more information, right? See what it says? And such, what's the next word? Were. I'd circle that were, underline that word were. Such were some of you. Hey, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some of you were involved in adultery. Some of you are involved, Paul said, in fornication. Some of you are involved in abusing yourself with mankind. Some of you were involved in so forth, in stealing and being covetous and getting drunk and all the rest of it that's listed there. And such were some of you. Praise God for the power of the blood of the Lamb that has broken the curse of sin, that has broken the penalty of sin. Heaven is not an inheritance. Heaven is a gift. Therefore, heaven cannot be inherited. Heaven is a gift that must be received. I'm going to heaven because my dad's going to heaven. No, that's not why you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven because you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, we do have some inheritances. Those rewards are called inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Eternal security is not a ticket to sin, but rather an incentive to live a righteous life. Turn me quickly to the gospel according to John. John chapter number 6. I think when we get to heaven, in many cases, we're going to be surprised. We will think certain people will be there, and they won't be. And then we will think that person's never going to make it, and they'll be there. Because it's not based on who you and I think are going to be there. It's going to be based on who has repented and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I am a man of unclean lips. Paul said, I'm the worst of the worst. Who would think a murderer of Christians would be in heaven? I wouldn't think so. By the grace of God, we know he will be. Look at John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There are some people in this greater Burnaby, New West, and so forth and so on, and we might see them from time to time, and we need to be careful that we don't look at someone in a certain condition that they're in, living their life, and think, you know what, that person, there's no way that person could ever get to heaven. The Bible says, such were some of you, but ye are washed. You know, we ought to try to see people that on the outside look a certain way, and we ought to try to see through all of that and see into their heart that Jesus Christ died for them, He was buried for them, and He rose again for them. And let's not be deceived about who God wants or doesn't want in heaven. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 10, 28 and 29, we referred to those a little while ago. Be not deceived about those who will enter heaven. The admonition again is be not deceived. Growing Christians, we need to continue in the Word of God, trusting Him for all that we need. Let's look at one more. We've got time. 1 Corinthians 15. Be not deceived. Be not deceived in your heart. Be not deceived in your doctrine. Be not deceived in who is going to be in heaven someday. Number seven. That's my notes, page seven. Number four, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Here's another one. Don't be deceived in your friendships. Here's what it says. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. I have heard this in recent days a couple different times. He has or she has the wrong friends. Evil communications refers to the company that we keep. Psalm 1:1, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I've always been interested in the progression of that verse. You see that? Walking, standing, sitting. I look at it like this. We can walk with the wrong crowd only for a little time. When we walk with the wrong crowd, and this isn't for teenagers only, this is for we adults as well. We can walk in the wrong crowd for only a length of time, and then we're going to stop walking, and now we're going to be standing with them. You see where it heads. And eventually, I'm going to be sitting with them. Don't be deceived in your friendships, in your associations. All too often, here's a statement, all too often, the friends we have will determine the morals we live. All too often, the friends we have will determine the morals we live. Again, I'm not where I need to be in every area of my life. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm only going to have, you know, certain friends because, you know, they're not at my level. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know what? We need to be very, very careful. We need to be very, very careful. Yes, we've got some growing to do. And yes, we've got some maturing to do in the Lord. But all the more reason to surround myself with people that maybe love God more than I do. To surround myself with people that push me to do right, not to do wrong. Careful, be not deceived regarding your friendships. Turn quickly to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13. We'll finish here and pick it up next week. 2 Samuel 13. Probably one of the most famous uses of the, in a negative way, about friendship. Probably know the story. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. This is obviously in the connotation of a sexual relationship. That's what it's talking about there, that he fell sick for her. Not in an appropriate way at all. But Amnon had a friend. Now you would think, if you stopped right there, a friend would say, "Wake up. You're going down a long road that's going to end in misery." That's what a friend should have said. This isn't pleasing to God. Whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very what? Subtle man. He was sneaky. He was a trickster. And he said unto him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother, and Absalom's sister." And we won't take the time to read through what happens, but I'll just tell you quickly that Jonadab says, "Well, here's what you can do." And he gives him a plan to fulfill the lust of the flesh. What kind of a friend does that? Not a very good friend. In fact, I would say a godly friend would love a true godly friend, if he or she saw us going a certain direction, would say, "Hold the phone. Better think about what you're about ready to do. Is this going to please God? Is this going to please your dad? Is this going to please your mom? Is this going to be a good testimony?" And I'm not referring now right now necessarily to Amnon, but is this going to be a good testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this going to be a good testimony to the church? Is this going to speak well of God? That's what somebody who really cared about us would say if we were heading down the wrong road. But in this case, Jonadab wasn't that kind of a friend. And he gave him a plan, and the plan was to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and that's what happens. And it doesn't end well. By the way, it never ends well when we follow the lust of the flesh. It never ends well when we follow the pride of life. It never ends well when we follow necessarily the emotion of what I want. No, let's follow the truth of the Word of God. You know what that might mean? It might mean that somebody tonight that is a close personal friend can't be a close personal friend anymore. Because they don't bring us closer to God. And when we're with them, we're not bringing them closer to God. Be not deceived. Let's pray.